Turn with me, if you would, to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Reading at verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there he delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me with to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And we want to take as our text the words that we have in verse 21. "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." The Lord Jesus Christ has been at Jerusalem. And while he has been there, he has performed many miracles. He has gone into the temple, and he has cast out the money changers. He has cleansed the temple. While he was there at night, a man by the name of Nicodemus came to him, and the Lord had discussion with Nicodemus. You read of that in John chapter 3. And then on his way back down from Jerusalem, he takes a detour, and he meets a woman sitting at a well. But now he comes back to his own place. He returns to the place where he was raised up, to Nazareth, unto his own. And he enters into the synagogue, where he was had used to being, where he had been brought up. And one can but imagine this little place, and the synagogue, and the Lord Jesus Christ entering into the synagogue, and those of the place speaking of him. They knew him. Some of them said of him, "Is this not the son of Joseph, the carpenter?" They knew exactly who he was. And when he took his place among them in the synagogue, they began to praise, to worship. They would have sung. They would have prayed. Very often people today think that the worship of the Old Testament was full of priests and incense and offerings. That, of course, is not the case. The offerings and the priests were to be found at Jerusalem, at the temple. When you come down into Nazareth and to the synagogue, you find that they there sang psalms, they prayed, and they read the scripture. And then the scripture was expounded. The Lord Jesus came into the synagogue where it was his custom to be. He never missed. He never excused himself. He came into the synagogue and he sat among the people. And then when it came time, there was delivered. When it came time, he stood up to read, as was the practice. And he read from the prophet Isaiah. When he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, He reads from the Old Testament scripture, from the prophecy of Isaiah. And then he sits down and he begins to teach. He begins to instruct those within the synagogue. What a wonderful insight we have of the Lord Jesus Christ in the synagogue, preaching. He is the very teacher of all teachers. He is the prophet of all prophets. Yes, God at sundry times and in different ways had spoken by the prophets of the Old Testament. But now here is the great teacher and prophet himself come to the synagogue. And as he sits down to begin to teach, there are those who would no doubt sit with wonder, what is it that he's going to say? Others perhaps who knew him, had been raised with him, were jealous. And we know that there were those who were antagonistic to his even taking the scripture and speaking from them. But we have a wonderful insight into this synagogue. Nearly 2,000 years ago, when the Lord Jesus Christ came in and began to expound and to open out the Word of God. We want to today consider something of that teaching as the Lord Jesus Christ sits down and begins to speak to them from the Old Testament. First of all, we want to see Christ, the teacher. Christ, the teacher. With what assertion and with what authority the Lord Jesus Christ speaks here. Do you remember when he elsewhere gave the Sermon on the Mount? It was with what authority that the Lord Jesus Christ spoke. It was that authority that made such a great impression upon so many that heard. He did not speak as the scribes and the Pharisees, but he spoke as one having authority. And when the Lord Jesus comes into the synagogue here, back in his own hometown, with what authority he speaks. And we know that it is because of who he is that he is able to speak with such authority. It is because he is the eternal Son of God. He is God himself, manifest in the flesh. And he is able to say, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your hearing, in your ears. This day, this scripture in your ears, it is fulfilled. What an assertion he makes when with authority he speaks of himself. There is no doubt here in the mind and in the words of our Lord Jesus Christ when he speaks. And is it not also true today that whenever we come to the Word of God and whenever we seek to expound the Word of truth, it is a thus saith the Lord. It is not what you think. It is not what the preacher thinks. It is what the Lord Jesus Christ himself tells us. And when the Lord Jesus Christ tells us, then we ought to have ears to hear. We ought to have a heart that would listen to what the Lord himself would say. He sits in this synagogue And with what authority? He says, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. As they sit and listen to the voice of our Lord Jesus Christ, scripture is itself being fulfilled. And it is on the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ that that statement is made. And that brings us to consider, when you see the authority that the Lord Jesus Christ has, it brings us to consider something of who he is and who we consider this man in this synagogue to be. There are those who will say to you that the Lord Jesus Christ is one who gives a good example. He is one who is a man that may, yes, be emulated. He is a man who perhaps will be one who could be followed. But when it comes to his person, they stop short. They do not recognize that he is the eternal Son of God. I think I mentioned to you once before, I'm almost certain I did, a young lad who went into a church, hadn't been brought up in church at all, and he sat down in the church and the preacher spoke about Christ as being God. And he couldn't accept this. It had never registered with him before that the Lord Jesus Christ is the second person of the Trinity, that he is God of very God. When he came out, he complained to his wife, who had been brought up under the sound of the gospel. He said to her, "Did you believe what he said there? He was saying things that were wrong. He said that Jesus is God." Well, when you come to Jesus in the synagogue, and the Lord blessed that day to that young man, as he came to realize who it was that is spoken of in Scripture, the Lord blessed that day to him. But do we recognize that as Jesus here speaks with authority, he can only speak with that authority as he is the eternal Son of God? He alone is able to interpret that scripture and refer it directly to himself. He is referring the prophecy of Isaiah directly to himself, and he is only able to do that as we recognize that he is himself the eternal Son of God. It is the scripture itself that is his word. And therefore, as the Lord Jesus Christ comes into this world, he is God manifest in the flesh. As he enters into the synagogue, he is able to speak with that authority because of who he is. And there is no doubt, there is no disputing, when the Lord Jesus Christ says, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." But the second thing is, we want to not only notice with what authority the Lord Jesus actually speaks as he speaks here, as he addresses the congregation here. We want to see what he actually says. And as he speaks, he goes back to the Old Testament, to the prophecy of Isaiah. He delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, it's as though he was looking for this very place. He found the place where it was written. And then he begins to expound the prophecy of Isaiah. And what does he say? Well, he preaches from Isaiah, and the first thing is, he is teaching something about mankind. And it's contrary to the way that the scribes and the Pharisees view mankind. It's contrary to the way the world itself views mankind. The Lord goes back to Isaiah and he begins to show something of what mankind is by nature and how man is by nature. He says here, he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to captives, recovering the sight of the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. How these members of this congregation, when the Lord Jesus speaks here and goes to Isaiah, he speaks of something that speaks of mankind and of mankind as he is by nature. What does it say? The Lord Jesus has been sent to heal brokenhearted, to deliver captives, to give sight to the blind, and to free those who are in captivity. And man himself by nature is poor and bankrupt. Poor and bankrupt. You might not look at the rich man and see him being poor and bankrupt. You might not look at many people today in Edinburgh. I read recently somewhere that outside of London, there is greater wealth in no other city than in Edinburgh. And that the wealth that is centred in Edinburgh outstrips many other cities in our land. And yet, the Bible tells us, for all that man may have outwardly wealth, he's bankrupt. He is poor. When it comes to the things of God, go back to the reading that we had in Genesis. Jacob, for all the years that he had, and for all that many of the patriarchs going through through this world as a pilgrim, yet they were rich in faith. Because a little with God far exceeds all the riches that this world will ever set before you. They were poor. Man is poor. Man is but a pauper. You know, sometimes if you go to America, you will read of men in America who would go and dig for gold. They would go out into the hills and they would dig for gold and they would come upon a seam and they would think this was gold and they would get it and they would think they were rich and they would go down and they would go back into the town and there they would bring it and they would have it examined. And they discovered so often that what they thought was gold was worthless. And that's the way man is by nature. He looks at the worldly things. He lusts after them. And he's but poor and bankrupt. But not only poor and bankrupt, they are captives. Can I ask you even today, is there not even one here who can say that there is a sin? There are sins that no matter how you would try to overcome them, no matter how you would try to fight against them, that sin holds captive. It has a power, sin has a power to it that binds and brings a person into captivity, into bondage, and they're in bondage to that sin. Oh, you might have resolutions. We come to the end of another year, towards the end of another year, and people will make resolutions. But still, sin brings bondage and captivity and brings you down into prison. And you might think you're free, but the very freedom is part of the bondage. Our nation today is corrupted with immorality. Listening this week, I mentioned it in the newsletter, listening this week to all that has been spoken about young people. And it's not now a case of immorality. It's a case of it is all right to be promiscuous as long as it's safe. I was disgusted this week listening to a program, and that's all they were saying. They weren't saying it's wrong for young people to be promiscuous. What they were saying was, it's all right as long as it's safe. And that's what people call freedom. But that's bondage. That's bondage. That's captivity. That's our young people being taken down more and more into corruption. And it's a bondage. We can do nothing about it. So let's then placate it. Let's see if we can go along with it. Simply because we say we can do nothing about it. Is that not bondage? Is that not captivity? And the sight of the blind. Oh, what a description Isaiah the prophet gives of man, not only a pauper and poor, a captive, but blind. Blind. Spiritually blind. The Lord Jesus Christ came into this world of darkness because man by nature is blind to his own condition. That's the sad part of it. That man is so blind that he thinks he's all right. He's so blind that he doesn't even see his captivity. He doesn't even see his poverty. He is so deceived in his heart. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? He's blind and bruised. Bruised. And the Lord Jesus Christ begins to speak and to teach something about the world. But he also begins to teach something concerning himself. He begins to teach something concerning, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. All prophecy, looking forward to one thing, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of history, right away back from the fall, and God's dealings with Jacob and Joseph. Jacob being brought down into Egypt as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph providing for his brethren. Jacob as the Lord's people. Being delivered out of Egypt through the Red Sea. Everything pointing to one thing. The day when Messiah would come. The day when the Savior would come. Isaiah pointing forward and speaking in the spirit of prophecy. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to those who are in poverty, to those who are captive, to those who are blind, and to those who are bruised in this world. There's a gospel of good news. A gospel that speaks of deliverance. And the prophets looked forward. They saw the day of the Lord afar off, and they looked forward. They desired it, and they spoke of it. Go through the Psalms. Psalm 22, my God, why hast thou delivered me? speaking in prophecy of what? Of the Lord Jesus Christ. Speaking of the prophets, telling how he would be born in Bethlehem, how he would be raised up in Nazareth, how he would be a Nazarene, how it is that he would be crucified, he would be despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. The prophets looking forward and speaking of the day of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all these prophecies find their fulfillment in him. History itself, here is the very pivotal point in the whole of history. The Old Testament saints looking forward. The New Testament Christian and saint looking back to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he sits down among them. And he says, this day is this scripture fulfilled in thine ears. What? The day of the Lord, the preaching of the gospel. What is it that is? First of all, you notice here, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. This is the day when the anointed has arrived, the one of whom it is said he has the Spirit without measure. He was filled with the Spirit, and there was no measure of the Spirit that was poured out upon him. He is the anointed of the Father, the anointed Messiah, that all the, not only the prophets, but all of the ceremonial law pointed forward to. Even as Aaron had the oil of anointing poured upon him, it pointed forward to the time when the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit, would be anointing him in a way whereby he would bring that peace to poor sinners. But it is not only that he is the Messiah, the one upon whom the Spirit is anointed, not only that he preaches, but that he himself is able to bestow that blessing. He was sent to actually heal. He was sent to actually deliver. He was sent to actually recover. And he was sent to actually set free. The prophets of the Old Testament could preach about it. And the ministers of the New Testament will preach about it. But there is one here of whom it is said that he was actually sent not only to preach it, but to actually effect it. He hath sent him to preach the gospel to the poor, but he has sent him to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captive and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. It is the Lord Jesus Christ taking to himself as he sits down here and teaches them. He is teaching them about the year of Jubilee. The year of great, when there is rejoicing. It is the acceptable year of the Lord. It is that time when Messiah would come and when he would actually set free the captives. Now, there were many who heard the Lord Jesus Christ as he, that were fastened on him. All their eyes were upon him as he began to expound the scripture. And the one thing I think that we want to take away with us here today is, first of all, not only the authority by which Jesus spoke, but that how he referred everything of the scriptures of the Old Testament to himself, how he applied everything of the Old Testament to himself, and how it was that when he described and taught them regarding the condition of man, he also set before them that way of salvation, to preach the way of salvation. And the way of salvation is to be found in himself. It is he alone that was anointed with the Spirit, and it was anointed by the Father. It was he alone that was able to come into this world and to bind up the brokenhearted. He brings it. He doesn't just proclaim it. But as the Lord taught, there was one thing you noticed that stood in the way of many of them that listened to what he had to say. And that was their view of who he is. Their view of who he is. When they listened to him, and when they heard him preach, they thrust him out of the city. When many of them heard of him, they said, "Is this not the son of Joseph, the carpenter's son?" It was their view of who he was and who he is. And it is the view that we have today of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. That so often will determine our hearing what he has to say. Do we today recognize that it is the eternal Son of the Most High? He himself describes the nature of man. Can we say today that we have been to the place where we are brokenhearted? That we have been brought to mourn over our sins? Have we been brought to see that we are captive and under the power of sin? Have we been brought to see something of our own blindness? And have we been bruised, even in this world? Well, how glorious it is that the Lord Jesus Christ says, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." To call sinners and to save sinners. To save those who have been brought low, and to bring before us even this day the gospel of reconciliation, a gospel that speaks of sinners reconciled to God through the Lord Jesus Christ and through him alone. Have we today come to see Christ as not only the great teacher, but as also the one who himself is the great priest and the great king? And that as he spoke in that synagogue in Nazareth, so he speaks to us today. Do we know what it is to be changed by the power of the Spirit of God? That we have come to trust in him and in him alone for all our salvation. Because he's the one who's anointed. He's the one who was sent. And he says, "This day, God's appointed time, this scripture, it's fulfilled in your very ears. As you hear me speaking among you and teaching you what Isaiah has to say."